everyone, and welcome back to In My Heart, a podcast truly about all the things in my heart and finding our freedoms. I'm your host, Heather Thompson. My next guests, Jen Smedley and Kristen Hensley, hashtag iMomSoHard, began as a popular web series by real life best friends and comedians and moms. One night, over a glass of wine and many tears of frustration, these two friends decided to tell a different kind of story. With a camera, two husbands, a babysitter, and bottomless mimosas, Kristen and Jen decided to speak openly about their fears and failures and prove the only way to survive motherhood is through laughter and friendship. Both women write and produce hashtag IMSH with a common goal. Maybe we can make you feel better about the job you're doing if you see the terrible job we're doing. The videos have received nearly 300 million views worldwide in just 3 years. This phenomenon that Kristen and Jen created has since nabbed development by Warner Brothers TV. The comedians have sold out two national tours, written a New York Times best-selling book, landed branded deals with Fortune 100 companies, and tapped a stand-up comedy special for Amazon Prime Video, launching the network's first stand-up comedy platform. In the coming months, the women will premiere their weekly podcast and announce a children's book with HarperCollins. But right now, Kristen Hensley and Jen Smedley are in my heart. Welcome, girls. Boy, that was a long bio because you are cooking with gas. Welcome.
That was amazing. And it also tells me we got to update that thing because we've been doing this for 5 years now, right?
I know.
I was going to ask that question because I know in just 3 years you guys hit like launch, but okay, so let's start from the beginning. Okay, first of all, y'all I know are from Nebraska, both of you, and now you live in LA. Tell me about how it started with you two besties.
Well, we're both from Nebraska. I'm from a really small town and I went to school in Lincoln, and Jen's from like right outside of Omaha in Bellevue. And like, we had all the same friends in Lincoln. We both went to school there and we never met. Like, it's insane what our Venn diagram looks like of just people that we know in common. And then we moved out to LA at different times and we both started doing comedy and shows and improv and whatnot. And one fateful night, I was invited to a comedy show. And when you're doing comedy in LA and you don't have a ton of heat, you have to bribe your friends to show up. So you offer them free beer and then you drink in a parking lot after, which was very regular for Jen and I, because we're from Nebraska. And so then we were in this parking lot after she was in a comedy show that I saw, and I thought she was really funny. I thought she wore a lot of accessories, but she was very funny.
That's a compliment for me. Yep. I appreciate that.
I just kept going, oh my God, she has so much. How does she hold her neck up? There's like 14 necklaces on it. Then we met in the parking lot and we became fast friends. We just like cut the shit and went right to the good stuff.
That's awesome. So you guys were both doing stand-up comedy. Tell me how that happened.
Well, kind of the hard part about us doing comedy together before, which ended up being like the strength in what we're doing now, is we would get on stage to do a comedy show and just laugh at each other rather than like really perform. And it was just like we were sitting at a bar having like drinks with each other and laughing at what the other one was saying, which is not really what you're supposed to do in comedy. It comes off as a little cheeky, but doing it for a web series seems to work evidently. So
yeah, we were both doing a lot of improv, and any chance we had to get up together, if the worlds collided and we got to do it together, we just had such a blast. And I think Jen's being very fair in her description. I think what she means to say is Jen would talk and all I would do is laugh my ass off like a complete non-professional. And to so much so that like even the directors of our show were like, you know, you didn't say a single word. And I was like, I can't. So then we started doing the web series video after one night after having wine. And that's very true. We were both feeling just really, you know, you think you have kids and you're like, oh man, there goes the days of doing comedy shows. Cause they all start at 10 PM. You're like, nobody's doing a stand up brunch or like an improv 9 AM or, you
lay
know,
down in pajamas at that time of night.
I'm done for. So we thought, let's just do something that we can do together. And the whole point is to, yes, make moms feel better, but also just to be together and do this thing that just always ends up making us laugh, which, as you know, as a mom, you need more of that all the time. So yeah, that's kind of how it all started.
Well, laughter breeds laughter. So the fact that you were laughing at her jokes as a comedian, I mean, that's one of my favorite things. All the bloopers, or like when on Saturday Night Live, they can't hold it in because they're just so damn funny. It makes you laugh even harder. You know what I mean? They're laughing at themselves and they can't hold it together. So, you know, laughter breeds laughter. So it's good that you laugh at each other and you keep it light. Like, you guys are so funny about that. But you're talking oftentimes about serious topics that, you know, you've come in contact with. Now, okay, wait, let me back up one more time.
Sorry.
How long did you know each other until you started having kids? Or did you have kids when you met?
No. We had a whole life before kids. But
a bit blurry.
Yeah. So I'm like, it started at one bar and ended at after hours. And somebody said it was like 6 years long. So
it was probably like about 5 years. But the first time that we had our first like friend date, we fell so much in love because we make each other laugh, like ugly laugh, harder than anybody else. Where like, if you were on a date, you'd be mad, like a double date. You'd be like, you're making me laugh like that. Where you're like, like your nose crinkles up. You're like, you can see your tonsils.
Oh, I know it. Yes.
We like traded leather jackets, which we still have. Yeah. And like, we just instantly fell in love. And then I met my husband and she was like my co-date all the time. He'd bring both of us. He's a very gentlemanly New Yorker and he would like pay for our dinners. I had to put out. How's that fair?
I did not. It was delightful. It's the easiest dating situation I've ever been in. I was like, I'm going to go home now. And thanks for the dinner. And I don't have to make out with anybody. I'm just going to adios. You two have fun, lovebirds.
So she meets her husband on this one Thursday and like by Tuesday, she's pregnant. So like our world changed very quickly.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. So you went through babies together and were you being funny about having kids or like, tell me how, because I know it was like husbands and kids and mimosas, but when did you really know that you had to put this into a podcast? When did you know that your comedy between each other had to be shared? What was the realization?
Well, I think the first place we started was we did a web series. And I remember Jen came over to my house and she had Dashiell and Delilah, and the age difference between her kids are the same as mine, except Finn is 2 years older than her oldest. So it goes 10, 8 for me and 8, 5. Wait, no, 8. Delilah's almost 6, right? She'll be 6 in August.
Yeah.
So we have the same age difference in our kids, except I was first. So she brought over the kids and I knew she was having the hardest time because she was wearing this weird hat. And I was like, this is not typical Jen. This hat does not go with the outfit. So either she has not washed her hair or done her roots. And so shit is hitting the fan here. And she was just having, like, it was the hardest. She was trying to nurse. She was, I had a toddler, like you never feel like you actually physically look up from little heads. You're like always. So everybody went outside in the backyard and Jen and I, we were having a glass of wine. And I remember we were just both like fast talking to say like, I'm doing everything wrong. And you're the only person that's going to make me feel like what I did isn't the worst thing in the world. And then I remember we were like, do you think other people feel like this? Right. And that was sort of the nugget. And then Jen's very proactive. And she called me, she's like, let's do this thing. Let's do this. And so we did, and man, it was a real mess and we did it all wrong. We went in with the best of intentions, but in this weird brain of ours, we were like, we have to be super peppy. We have to be happy and peppy. And it doesn't matter that both of us feel like shit. We are peppy.
Like and Kelly then, Ripa, just
yeah, the whole time. We were like, then we got there and we started filming and we were like, we should probably introduce ourselves like really good hosts. And I did my introduction. And meanwhile, I had like literally, I have a zit here too, but I had a zit that literally morphed my face. It was like a softball
like
on
a
my
boil.
And I'm like, let's just all not look at the other person in the room here, which is this guy that decided to show up. And I was sweating because I was on my period. So I was like, God, but be peppy, you know? Right. And then Jen, so I introduced my kid's name and then we went to Jen and Jen fully forgot her daughter's name. And I exploded.
She was 4 months old and she breastfed like every hour, like 24 hours a day. So I was a zombie.
You had mommy brain.
Totally. But here's the deal. She wasn't going to come if I called her. Like, it didn't do any good. We could have changed her name at that point. It wouldn't have made any difference.
She didn't notice, Billy.
Like a good friend, she just laughs her head off at me. But that was kind of the proof of like, look, if you have a good friend that like laughs at you and doesn't shame you when you do something that is like horrifying as a mother, like you got to hang on to that. That's rare.
I have two kids too. They're 2.5 years apart. And my firstborn was really sick when he was born. He was in the hospital. We didn't think he was going to live. He actually wound up having a liver transplant at 6 months old. Like, nothing is what they say it is. I'm like, I just saved his life. And I did notice for the first time the shaming, the looks that people give you. We live in the country. So when he was getting older, we pee outside and things like that. And one day in Central Park in the middle of the playground, he whips down his pants and pees in the sand. And this woman like accosted me about my kid peeing. I was like, it happens to all of us.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is that we recognize that, like, you know, it goes back to that old thing of like, you don't know what somebody's going through. You don't know the day they've had. You don't know. It's kind of not your business. It's your business to be there as a support, especially among all of us as moms and women. Like, you know, we always make the joke, like, a mom friend doesn't judge you when you're screaming at your kids. She offers to hold your coffee so you can use both hands.
Yes.
Like, you're always in the worst moment of your life. You're right. There is such this fairy tale that we're told, because if we were told the other thing, it would be sucky too. You know, they're like, no one tells you like, hey, you're going to go out in and have this 9-pound baby and you're going to come out fatter.
You're
like,
going to be torn belly button to shoulder blades.
Yeah. Nobody, you're going to be wearing your husband's shirt and it's not going to fit. And he's poundy. So you're going to feel like a real asshole when you leave. You're going to be sore. And the first poop you do is going to tear you apart. No one tells you that. No one's telling you any the truth, because
so much they don't tell.
We find all the time that, like, you know, we have this network of like 2 million plus moms that are just cool. They're like the chicks that you want to hang out with. And we really try to celebrate that there really is more of those people in the world. Yes. It's just that like a negative message resonates in your head so much, or like a little bit of shame, especially when you care so much about something like your baby. But I mean, everybody has shoved their baby back into a stroller and sworn at the zoo. Like, there isn't an Instagram mom on the planet who has not had that ugly moment and been like, anybody see that? Anybody see that? You know, like, if we're honest about it, we've all been the mom we didn't want to be. We're just saying, here it is, like, judge it if you want to. But overwhelmingly, the response has been me too versus shame on you.
Yeah. Or me too. Let me tell you what I did that's worse. And that's delightful. Like, we did one, we did a video basically talking about just that, that like, I think Finn had fallen off the bed and I was like devastated, and because he was an infant, I have still no idea how physically this happened.
Yes.
I literally lodged him between two pillows. I went to grab my laundry basket to come back in and fold it, and he fell off the bed. And I, to this day, shudder when I think about it. And I literally called the pediatrician's office and they were like, this happens so much that we're asking you, don't bring him in. And I was like, and they're like, is he crying? And I was like, nope, he's fine. I'm not fine. He's fine. I called Jen and I was like, so embarrassed. And then, you know, this is when you tell those stories, there could be judgment, but instead people are like, oh yeah, one time we were going fishing and one of my kids fell out of the back seat. We didn't know it for 2 miles. You know, like, they want to show you their dirty laundry because they want to make you feel better. And I feel like whenever that is the goal, then we're all a little bit more compassionate. Like, no mother on a plane likes when her kid is screaming. She's not sitting there like, isn't he? He's expressing himself, isn't he? He's mortified.
Right.
So don't judge her. Help her.
Right.
100%. You know, get up and help her. And if she doesn't want the help, then she's trying to be a hero. We all have to be willing to let someone help us. Yes. And we have to also be that person that it's like, you know what? I'm going to hold your butt. I'm going to buy you a drink. I'm going to hold your baby for 30 minutes. Even if this baby's crying, he's crying with you too. He doesn't like you. Doesn't like me. You have a cocktail. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
You
know,
especially when traveling.
What were some of the stories? Like, a woman had a newborn and, or like at the toddler stage, like, you got to tell us some.
I can't tell you the number of times that women write these messages, and this is not the story of the message. they'll introduce themselves. They'll be like, "Hi, I'm Carrie. I have a 3 month old, a 2 year old. I have two sets of twins and I have a 14 year old." And you're like, wait, what? Why stop having sex with your husband? He is bad news. He is potent.
Too fertile. Yeah.
Too fertile. You need to get like us and just be not into it. And so we're always amazed at the number of kids people have and how fast they have them. I told my husband it was a medical impossibility for us to have a baby a year after.
There was a woman that called, like when we started doing this, we had no idea like how well it would take off or how quickly. So Kristen's phone number was on our website and she would get calls from like the East Bombs. Coast, you know, like 5 a.m. And we got this woman called and was like, "Oh girl, this C-section scar." She'd had it's a baby hurting. Like 2 days ago. And she was like, "How come nobody tells you about this? Like a cut in half like a samurai sword." And Kristen's like, "Do we need to call an ambulance for you? Like, do you have a friend you're trying to get a hold of? Like, what is happening? Why are you calling us?"
But on some level you feel so honored because, you know, like you were saying before, we have this idea of what motherhood's going to be and we have to lean into that. We can't give ourselves the truth because then you take away the beauty of it in some way. But man, there is something that happens, like this curtain's open and you're like, where the fuck was everybody when they did? We just had a sprinkle 2 days ago. Nobody told me about this.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Nobody tells you that you're going to need the newborn diapers for yourself.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you remember reading the mommy books, you know, when you're about, when you have your first baby in the belly and you have like the stack of mommy books?
Then I would give her the brief version of them, the cliff notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It took Kristen and I a couple weeks maybe to discuss was, I got a hemorrhoid that shot to my doctor. He was like, "I'm going to send you to a specialist." And I'd never had a hemorrhoid. I went to my husband and I was like, I felt like, you know, when a dog gets poop stuck in their butt and you're like, something's wrong. I was like walking weird. And I was like, "Honey, everything hurts. And it's awful. You got to look." And he's like, "You, ma'am, have a hemorrhoid and like, we're not going to have sex for a while, but great." Great.
Totally.
I was like, fine
about that.
No,
I got one too. And I had never had one before. And I was trying to lose the 100 pounds and the baby comes out and you're left with this humongous deflated inner tube around your midsection. It's so much better when the baby's in the belly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the pretty, I used to call it when I started my fashion company, which I now sold, but yummy. I used to call it the yummy tummy because the baby was in the belly. And then when the baby came out, it was not so yummy anymore. It was like literally a deflated inner tube around my midsection. And like, I was trying to go running to try to like lose the weight. And I had a hemorrhoid and I did not know what it was. And I was like, what? I had to stop running. I was like, what?
Women are so tough in that for that very reason. Like, you know, like they find out there's this problem and they just handle it. There's no like, "Oh, I'm going to feel sorry for myself because I have a balloon in my butt. You're like, I got to fix this and then move on." You know, like, I have no time.
Yeah. All of a sudden you have this very needy roommate who is super demanding that you have to keep alive.
Never pays any rent.
Everything is falling out from the belly button down. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I was an animal.
You know, in our generation, it's so refreshing because, you know, my mother and her mother were told, "You don't talk about this.
You don't talk about it."
I mean, my grandmother would probably lay on the floor if she heard even a quarter of what we just said. You know what I mean? And they were nurses too. Both my grandmothers were nurses, but my mom, we just didn't. I would say to her, "Mom, why didn't you tell me?" And she said, "Well, the joy of you kids was so wonderful that I forgot all that." You know what I mean? You forgot all that.
Was she holding a martini when she?
Yeah, exactly. It was so 50s. What a 50s response. You know what I mean? Like, I love that you bring these experiences to light for everybody. And what's really magical about it too is your friendship. You know, I want to talk about the best friend side of life too, because what you kind of do is you pull back the curtain, and obviously you're a comedian, so you're so super funny about it, but you pull back the curtain into the reality of what best friends talk about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's so lovely and refreshing. And Talk a little bit about your friendship and working together and getting through hurdles. I mean, everything can't be all rosy, like you said. You know, you are in business together. You're building stuff like that together. Do you ever have challenges that you have to
pass
through?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But we have this rule where we say, all right, each person gets two punches, but it's only boobs or butt. There's no, yeah, no boobs, butt, or gut, yeah. No faces, because it's how we make our money. So yeah. Just a strong punch to the midsection. But we have to warn each other so we can actually try to flex, because our core strength isn't great. So we just do boobs or butt generally.
Yeah. Well, we actually love the question. We were thinking, you know, we have a live show that's coming up this summer. We're writing a new one. We're like, maybe we should talk about that, because people will like cautiously write us messages and say, like, do you guys ever disagree? And we're like, yes, like we're brothers. Like,
yeah,
we do. And but we love each other. We have like a marriage. And so we get through it. You know, like there's this idea. We always think that like women are so precious and that you're going to like, you know, neither one of us ever has the intention when we're disagreeing to like hurt the other one. It's a difference of opinion, and we're adults and we can do it. And it's like, I wish more women understood that you can do that.
Yeah. I think for Jen and I, and I think in especially in terms of business, cause you're right. Like all of a sudden this thing that we had, this friendship, there was, I remember in the very beginning, I was like, this thing is becoming a thing. And while I knew that whatever Jen and I put our heads together doing, that I knew it would be good, because we both, I think she's so talented, and I knew that we would just do our very best and like it would do something. But when it became this much bigger thing, there was a moment I was like, will this affect our friendship? Cause I love this person so much. I don't want anything to break the friendship or to put strain on it or change it. And what I realized is like, all of a sudden you're going into meetings with somebody who's looking out for you and you're looking out for them. And it's a wonderful power. Like I would not have had the courage to say half the things I've said if it was just me alone. But because I knew that my best friend was in the room with me, I was like, no, that doesn't sound like the right thing. Or I, you know what, those clothes that he picked out for us, those hurt her feelings and they hurt my feelings. Like we can communicate in that way. And that's really powerful. And I think that's what women need to think about, is like a partnership isn't two girls that are going to get catty and say the meanest things to each other, because we are emotional ninjas and you have to be careful with your power. Yeah. So when you're in an argument, you can't be brutal about it. Yes. You have to get in it. You can be fired up, but you have to think to yourself, I love this person. I don't want to hurt her.
Exactly.
And so you fight like brothers, you get it out, and then you hug, you punch, and you have a drink, and then you move on and you're stronger in the end. But
you see a pair of earrings when you're out shopping and you just knew that the other one was going to love them. And that's how you say, I love you and I'm sorry. And then,
yep. Yeah. And you change their tires, cause you know, she hasn't rotated them in 2 years. Like, I don't want to talk to you, but I'm taking your minivan.
Yeah.
Our daughters are such good friends. Like we love this little budding relationship between them, because they've really grown up with each other, even though there's like a 2-year difference. And they had their first like disagreement, like the first time back from like quarantining where they got to like play with each other.
They were the dumbest thing.
It was also dumb, but it was like they both were emotionally fatigued from the excitement and stress of all of it. And we were both like, no, you guys love each other. Just figure it out. You know,
work it out. Don't say anything mean.
Yeah.
Work it out. The goal is to get right, not to stay mad.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think Jen and I've been, we feel so lucky and so grateful for everything that we've been able to do. And we feel so dedicated to the group of moms that have put us here, that when you have that going for you, you just cut the shit in a lot of ways. When we are focusing on these little micro things, it means you need to get busy. You need to get busy doing something that makes you feel good. Cause like, then it doesn't matter. Like, I can't tell you, we've had photo shoots. A photo shoot sounds so fancy, and it is fancy, and you know what that's like. But for our book cover, I had one outfit, and Jen did not try on the dresses that she bought. And so we were pinning them behind each other, but we were like, we don't have time to care. Like they're going to have to get something that works. Our kids are in soccer in 4 hours. Like let's get the party started, you know? And that's very freeing and very wonderful.
That's great. Because when you have each other by, you know, each other's side, then it's all okay. Because you were there to say, who cares if the dress is too big? We're just going to give me some clips. we'll clip it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you make the other feel better. And my friend Aviva Drescher taught me this, and I want to teach it to you. She says, say what you mean, but don't say it mean.
That's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Say what you mean, but don't say it mean.
Well, we do a thing where we say what we mean, and it's, hey, how do I look in this dress? Your hips look like potatoes, but your boobs are banging. So we're going to crop this photo, you know.
We're so funny with each other. I'll say, Jen, I think that dress is an amazing choice, but I don't think you're going to be happy with the results. Like, we've learned how to say things in a way. Or Jen will be like, I think you're not going to be happy that you wore a t-shirt to this meeting. Like,
it's a very good exercise for everybody in general to just chew on your words sometimes before you spit them out. Because, you know what I mean? It's like a good, easy practice. And when you're, an A personality and, you know, you're always moving, and I've learned to be softer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To kind of open and be softer. And you get a lot further that way.
It takes more time. I think you and I are the similar. I'm sort of a just say it person, but I think that I've hurt people's feelings doing it like that. So I've tried to become nicer, but in my head, I'm like, take three sentences to say this in a nicer way. So I'm like, I really appreciate everybody's hard work on this. Everybody's doing a great job. And meanwhile, I just want to like get to it, but you're right. Like, the ramping into a nicer way of saying it is always a better way of doing it. I just need to calm down.
It's better for her too when you do that, Kristen, though, because if you will pain for like days, you think you said something that hurts someone.
Right. You're worried about what you did, and then you have anxiety, regret that you didn't do, you know, they hurt someone's feelings or something. So it does pay off. You're right. It does pay off in the end to just take a second, take pause. You guys recently posted on social media about the days that when they're feeling really long and you're feeling really close to losing your shit, you know, and that happens. And we just came out of the pandemic, which I have to talk about because, God, you guys probably have great stories about that. But what are some helpful, you know, tips that you can give people when they really need to reset? Generally speaking, a lot of people think that like comedians or people like you guys who are always like optimistic, like, you know what I mean? They don't struggle like I do. They're so optimistic. Like, they don't ever see the world like I do, whatever, but I know you do. And what are some of the tips that you guys go through? You know, how do you get through those humps? And what can you share with people about that?
That's so funny, Kristen, because we always say how like the thing that makes us funny is like sort of the awareness of our suffering, sort of like we kind of know what it is. And the thing that like unites us, maybe one of the reasons this last year has been so hard is it's been so insulary. And to me, it felt like when I had a newborn baby and I didn't have the time, the ability, the anything to go out and connect with anybody else. And it felt like all my suffering was my own, and I was the only one who had it and could understand it. And I think the last like year or so has kind of felt like that for everybody, that, you know, everybody was fighting with their husband. Everybody didn't know what the future held. Everybody was scared. Everybody was pissed. Everything was unfair, no matter what side you were on politically. Everything felt really bad. But because we couldn't connect like we used to, you felt like you were alone.
Yes.
And we always tell, especially new moms, reach out to any like other mom who is going to help you laugh and going to help you feel better about stuff. You know who those moms are. It's probably not your mom. It's
when somebody says, hey, if there's anything you need, and you're like, yeah, my dishwasher loaded, can you come over?
Yeah. Please.
You say it. It's really tough. It is. You always feel like, I think it's human nature. I think it's the nature of women in particular, that we feel like we're a bother. And there's nothing a woman loves to do more. It's not about being a mother. It's about the way we are in our nature, which I think is so lovely. There's nothing that women love more than to help someone. Mm-hmm. Like, we love to feel needed. We love for to sure. feel like it's, I can't tell you the number of times during quarantine when because I'm not a very good cook, where I learned to cook something new. And I was like, I'm going to pay attention to the fact that right now in this terrible cloud of sadness, I made this good meal. It makes me feel so good about myself.
Be here now.
Be here. Like, this is something. So like the women that are, you know, new mommies, or you're feeling really low, it is so hard to feel like you can put yourself out there, but that's the time you have to do it. I had a psychologist tell me one time that, depression in many ways is like descending a set of stairs, and like you're always, so you'll descend three and then it's really hard to get back up three, or you'll descend six and you come back up three, but you're not quite back up to the top. And so I sort of believe metaphorically, we've all descended a set of stairs. Without, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how freaking chipper you think you are, we're all a little different after this year. Yeah. And so we have to work really hard to get up those stairs. We have to like connect, reach out, do the things that make you laugh, play music, touch the ground, touch the earth, get off your computers. It's work like anything else, but we have to do it in order to find joy. I think that's my big takeaway from this.
Beautiful,
year.
Beautifully said. Bravo. Bravo. You of course ditto that and second that. I know you do. There's no one size fits all solution when it comes to hair care. I consistently struggled to find products that actually worked for and with my wavy hair versus straight against it, leaving it limp and lifeless. Thanks to my personalized Prose routine, I can honestly say I've never been happier with my waves. Prose makes custom hair care that's effective because it's personal. Using natural ingredients with proven results, Prose customizes every product in your routine, from shampoo to supplements. First Pros starts by asking you about you as a person with their consultation, and they look deep to find the real you, asking about your eating habits and exercise, as well as damage level and hair goals. Pros analyzed all my answers and determined what unique blend of ingredients should be in my custom routine. I have a pre-shampoo mask, my shampoo, my conditioner, and then I have a curl cream. And my hair's texture is softer and fuller and wavier than ever. It checks all the boxes because Prose is also an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. And I love that. Prose is a healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to prose.com/inmyheart. That's prose.com/inmyheart for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off. Get after it. I wanted to move into your futures a little bit. You know, after two national tours, a New York Times best-selling book, you know, a stand-up comedy special for Amazon Prime Video, which actually launched their whole comedy platform. Hello, congratulations on that. You know, what's next? What are your hopes and dreams, you know, for iMom So Hard? And obviously you're not stopping. So
no.
Well, we just released a kid's book. A children's picture book that is just as much for moms as it is for kids. It's called The Meanest of Meanies. Everybody gets that. We love
a copy.
That.
Of it.
Yes, everybody gets that.
We are writing a new stand-up tour that will start this fall, but we're also talking about how we would love to like help other versions of iMom So Hard that are different moms and different voices like get going. We'd love to produce some of those things. Like we have ideas for projects and stuff like that. Ideas for our own sitcom again that we want another chance at bat with, but we'd love to be able to like bring different voices to producers and networks and stuff and get those going if we can.
Oh, I love that idea. So giving the spotlight to other women to spread their stories out and produce that. That's wonderful. Great idea. I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be tuning in on everything. I'm coming to the tour. So
oh, good.
Everybody get vaccinated so we can all go to concerts again and do all that fun stuff again and watch these two lovely ladies. How'd you find your freedoms? I mean, so I ask this question, everybody, because it means different things and it can change, you know, day by day. So generally speaking, as two amazing, hardworking, wonderful best friends and women and individuals, how do you each find your freedoms? And maybe you found some of them during the pandemic to keep yourself sane.
I think it started to feel like we had our freedom. I felt like I was starting to get my freedom back when Jen and I could work together again, when we were going to great lengths to take a million COVID tests, to limiting, you know, like we still did social distancing. It was just really hard. But every time something lifted or changed, it felt like there was a little bit of normal going on. And I just need, where everybody else that's talking about being an introvert, I am the opposite. I need to be in a grocery store with people. I need that. And so once I started to feel like I could do that and I wasn't scared,
yeah,
I feel like those were the freedoms that I got back, but it took a really long time. Yeah. And once that we got, once we got vaccinated, I was like, Lord Jesus.
I never like wanted a shot in my arm so bad in my life.
Please. It hurt like a motherfucker. And I was so sick and I don't care. I'd do it again.
Yeah. I got sick from the shot. I think I didn't. I had zero issues. I got sleepy. That was about it.
Yeah. It was all good. Nothing I haven't experienced in a strong hangover.
Right. Nothing a little tequila didn't do for
me. A little tequila didn't do to me. Oh, that was worse. That was also my soul.
Now that lasts 3 days too.
Yeah. Now that's like 8 days long. Yeah. Did you get the vaccination? Yeah. Nope. I had margaritas.
Mm-hmm. But I'm signed up and I'm going.
I'm good.
Vaccination. This was just a hangover. So Jen, what about you?
I gained 15 pounds, which I know a lot of people did. And I had this really great plan that I was going to hit the gym and then the pandemic started, but that's what everybody says. And I'll go with that lie for a long time, but I got really down on myself and I was really feeling bad. And especially like, if you're not achieving anything, you're not having these good things to like, you're kind of like feeling bad in all directions. And I was kind of feeling bad in all directions. And this bitch makes me download the Peloton app literally against my will. Literally. I was like, I think I swore back to her. Like when I finally agreed to do it on the text, I can't believe it. I'm as surprised as everybody else, but I started doing yoga and I dug myself out of a hole. I really do. Don't you feel like I'm different now, Kristen? I've been doing it. Like I'd rather do that than watch TV. I'm a strong TV watcher. So it's crazy to me that I am. And I hate when like, I was down and people would tell me like, oh, you should work out or you should try blah, blah, blah. But it really worked for me. It like, I turned my garage into a little mini yoga gym.
And you started with easy goal. You weren't like, I think that's the thing that is the point is like some of your classes were so short, but you felt like you accomplished something and then you would add time.
It's like 15
or 20
minutes.
Not like a 3 hour yoga class, which is never easy, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing I think gave me back my freedom and my libido was Bridgerton. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's
awesome. Wasn't that amazing?
Bridgerton did everything I needed it to do.
That's what got me working out again, actually.
I'm not a big TV watcher. And so for me, with the pandemic, I really got to watch all of the programs, especially my girlfriend, Carol Radziwill, because she's a big TV watcher. And I remember she's the best. And she would be like, I would say, oh, there's nothing on TV. This is like before the pandemic. She's like, are you kidding me? There's the best TV and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so during the pandemic, I watched like I watched Breaking Bad. I had never seen that. Of course, everybody watched Schitt's Creek because it was the best thing ever. You know what I mean? Like I watched all of these series and some that people didn't tell me to watch that I actually found on my own and then got to share with someone else. And I felt so like in the know on television. And Bridgerton was so good. Well, I just have loved having you guys on really so much. I'm so excited. I could talk to you for more time and I'm going to because you have more things coming up and we're going to be able to talk about more and I'm going to come to your comedy tour. But just in case people don't know you yet or are not one of the 300 million people that follow you, where, Jen and Kristen, can my guests find you if they don't already follow you?
Facebook and Instagram, you just search I Mom So Hard. Just no tricky spelling. It's not French. It's just I Mom So Hard on Instagram also. And we do have a podcast. You can listen to it wherever podcasts are listened to. Yeah. You'll find Kristen watching TikTok.
Just find me watching TikTok, but we're not literally doing TikTok yet, but I'm going to figure out the app. I'm going to stop looking at thirst traps and I'm going to start doing content. Just give me a minute.
I'm proud of you for that.
It's really intimidating. I need to be 8 to figure it out. But yeah, then you can always go to imomsohard.com and you can find out when we're going to start touring. We're hoping that it starts in September, fingers crossed, but we're very excited about this next live show because we feel like we just want to serve up what everybody has needed for the last year and a half and go big or go home.
That's right. And that's some good belly laughs. That's for sure. And laughter really, truly is the best medicine. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, there's nobody on this God's green earth that makes me laugh harder than my best friend, Memi. And she really fills my heart. And at the saddest times, we ugly face laugh. We cry when we laugh. And sometimes we just look at each other and laugh. So
yeah.
I am someone who has that in my life, and I'm so blessed with it. I love to see you guys really project that to everybody. And so thank you so much to my guests, Jen and Kristen. This is In My Heart. I'm your host, Heather Thompson. Be sure to follow along at I Am Heather T and send me any questions. And please don't forget to subscribe and download wherever you stream your podcast, or you can find me at heatherthompson.com as well. And join us next week for another episode.